You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 10.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Mindful Marketing with me, your host, Kimberly Maska, the podcast where we discuss integrating mindfulness into our mind-body-spirit marketing strategies. Today's guest is Jeanette Mott. Jeanette is a master certified coach and founder of Good Vibe University. She is on a mission to inspire deliberate creators, which she does through her blog, online university, one-on-one coaching, group gatherings, and speaking events. She is also a contributor to Jack Canfield's Life Lessons of Mastering the Law of Attraction. And she was invited to appear on Oprah's Law of Attraction episode to share about the manifesting method called Pray Ring Journaling. Developed through her years of study and practice, Jeanette shares a practical approach to the art of conscious creation. So welcome, Jeanette. How are you today?
I am so excited to be talking with you, Kimberly. Really happy to be here.
Fantastic. Thank you for joining me. So as all of my listeners know, we are here to give them as much information as possible to be able to take their mind, body, spirit business to the next level and get rid of the icky behind marketing. So we're listening to successful people like you and how you've done it. So I can't wait to hear all your information. So let's start with let's share your story behind your personal journey, how you came into coaching and how you started Good Vibe Coaching.
Right on. Well, it was a slower journey than it needed to be. In hindsight, this took a lot longer than it needed to. But what happened for me was I was in corporate world, not loving my experience there, but also feeling like I'd invested so much time and investment in credentials. I was well known in my field, extremely employable. A lot of people would have thought I was doing exceptionally well, but I was miserable, not the entire time, but like the last 5 years were just terribly unhappy for me. And one day I was at the health food store and I was checking out, and on the aisle across, there was a magazine that I could see on the cover. The title was, "Do You Need a Life Coach?" I'd never heard the term life coaching before, and I was transfixed. It's like those stories they tell, you know, when you're at a party and you see your true love, and it's like no one else exists and you just are drawn to each other. I felt that way for this magazine, this thing that was introducing me to the concept of life coaching. So I walked over, I set all my groceries right down on the floor, frozen goods and all, and I read the whole article on the spot because I just, the concept of a life coach grabbed me in a way that very few other things had. So I thought that this was a sign that I was supposed to be hiring a life coach. So I hired a string of them and I didn't really have fabulous experiences with most of them until I realized, no, Jeanette, it's not saying hire a life coach. It's saying be one. I went through a couple of training programs and combined it with my other passion, which I discovered around the same time, which was law of attraction, which also blew my mind and opened up my world in ways I never dreamed possible. So that's how I came to eventually dare to quit my job. And I did that with a lot of fear. I was leaving behind a six-figure salary with a lot of outward success, a lot of other people did tell me that I was crazy to quit, especially to go do something that was so unproven and unknown. Even in coach training, they trained us. Most of you will not be successful. The few of you who are lucky enough to build a full-time practice aren't first of all, it'll take 12 to 18 months if you're lucky enough to get there, and you're not likely to make more than 30 grand a year once you do. And still, I wanted to do it. I still felt the pull so strongly that it really wasn't optional, but I did resist it for quite a while. The advantage I had over others was that I did eventually hire a mentor coach who was law of attraction savvy, and she was the one that reminded me that anything anyone else tells you, it does not have to be that way for you. Because when I told her, look, okay, so I know that this is going to take a long time, and I probably won't be successful, and I'm not going to make much money, but I want to do it anyway. And she said, who told you that? And I thought, what kind of mentor coach did I hire that she doesn't even know how hard it is to build a coaching practice? And she said, what do you want? And I remembered, oh, that's right, law of attraction. I get to have whatever I want. And I said, well, if I could have whatever I want, what I would pick is a full-time practice in 1 month. And she said, then that's what we'll do. And I thought that she was asking me like a trick question. Like I really couldn't have whatever I wanted, but sure enough, she meant it. And she guided me through the concepts of conscious creation to manifest a thriving coaching practice. I didn't do it in 1 month. It took me 3 months. And it was year two before I was on track to replace my six-figure income, but I'm not complaining.
That's amazing. I love that. Yes, we have to remember, it's all what we want, right? What do we want to create?
And what we're focused on, and if I believe that, oh, most of us are going to fail at this, and even if we succeed, we're not going to make much money, I could create that for myself, or I could create something else. So I love that I was smart enough to plug into someone to remind me of that and to guide me through the process.
And that's such a great point. Sometimes we think we can do it all on our own. But when you have the right people behind you, what a difference, right? Because if you'd done it on your own, it would be years.
Literally, I thought about coaching for a long time before I pulled the trigger and quit my job. I'm talking years. But my life changed more in 3 months of working with an LOA coach than it did in 3 years of working law of attraction on my own.
Wow.
I know, right? That was, for me, that was such a ringing endorsement too of the power of coaching, which I was choosing as my new field. So it was very cool.
That's wonderful. Love it. So you've managed to build this incredibly successful business. What did you use as from a marketing standpoint to maybe differentiate yourself in addition to the law of attraction stuff that you were practicing to bring in your ideal customer?
I don't know that I have a good answer to this question because I'm not positive that I really did differentiate myself. What worked for me was that I chose success. I found a way to be in alignment with that vibration so that was what I dialed up from the universe, that this is going to be how it is for me. And I'm not sure that I really did differentiate myself, although I will say at the time that I chose to be a law of attraction coach, there were not a lot out there. In fact, my mentor coach, who was a law of attraction coach, didn't call herself that. She called herself an abundance coach. Her partner was like a spiritual coach. She even said to me, whatever you do, don't call yourself a law of attraction coach because no one will know what that is. This is before The Secret. It was before Asking It Is Given. But I did call myself a law of attraction coach online because I thought, well, that's what it is. And even if I have to answer questions like, no, I'm not a dating coach, so be it. And that actually turned out really, really well for me because when The Secret did come out, I was one of the few coaches that when you Googled law of attraction coach, you'd find me.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. So maybe that's one answer, but I didn't focus so much on how I have to make myself different from everyone else. At the time, there didn't feel like there was a ton of others who were doing this. But if you looked at just coaching in general, certainly I stood out because I focused on law of attraction coaching. But I didn't worry too much about, how to rise above the quote unquote competition. I mean, from the perspective that I had, there isn't a competition isn't something that I needed to worry about. All I wanted to pay attention to was being in alignment with the success that I wanted, with the people I wanted to work with the money that I wanted to make, with the impact I wanted to have through my work with them. If I focus on that, then that's what I'll experience. So that was my strategy there.
Perfect. So do you have an ideal client that you focus on, and how do you determine who they are and how do you market to them?
You know, I think that was really the key for me building my practice. And my business has evolved quite a bit since those early days. I don't do nearly as much one-on-one work as I did in the beginning. But in those early days, the way that I drew in those one-on-one coaching clients was I used the formula from Attracting Perfect Customers by Stacey Hall and Jen, whatever her last name is. One of the things they mentioned in the book is to write a list of, it's actually four lists. The first list is traits and qualities of your perfect client. The second list is what makes them tick, what makes them get out of bed. The third list is what they expect from you. And then the fourth list is based on their expectations. If you're coming up short, then the fourth list is where the gap that you need to close so that you're in alignment with perfect clients. What I loved about their process was they said, look, a lot of people, when they write up a list of their perfect client, they think the most powerful part is, in fact, what many people do is just the first list, traits, qualities, and characteristics. They said, that doesn't even matter. We only ask you that so you can get it out of your head. What matters most is the second list, what makes them tick. Ooh, I just got goosebumps. They said that don't be surprised if after you make this list of, you know, what makes your perfect client get out of bed every day, that you find you've just described yourself. But this is what is the most powerful magnet to drawing those people into your life. So what they recommended that you do is you write up these four lists on one page and that you read it every day. I just finished reading Joseph Murphy's Power of the Subconscious Mind. I read it right as soon as I woke up and right as I was going to sleep. So I literally had it taped on my bedroom wall. And eventually, I didn't even have to open my eyes to read it because I had the thing memorized. But in that process, what I was doing was connecting with my perfect people, the people who were excited to learn about me, who couldn't wait to work with me. They showed up ready to go. They were happy to pay my prices in full, up front, in advance. They raved about me to other people. They grew my excellent reputation. They got it. I mean, I had a nice long list of who they were like. And as I imagined that, that's who I ended up attracting. So that was one of the ways that I not only identified my perfect client, but connected with them every single day long before there were ever any client appointments on my calendar.
That's beautiful because it's so important. I call it the avatar. So if anyone hops over to my website, you can see one of my mindful marketing tips is knowing who that person is. That's so key because sometimes we think we know what they want, but we don't really know them yet. So that's such a key point.
Well, and so many people who are new at their business, they're focusing on no clients. They're focusing on, or the couple of crappy clients they got that they really didn't like. Wherever we focus, that's what we're getting more of. So if we're focused on, oh my gosh, how am I going to get people because there's no one hiring me, I'm going to manifest more of that. If I'm dialed in on, oh my word, I hate that last person, how they didn't like my work and they tried to discount it and they never did their homework and they showed up late, da, da, da. We get more of that. So where we're pointing our attention is crucial as to what unfolds next. That was my strategy for get your attention on what you want, and that's what will come into your life.
It's beautiful. So in addition to the putting the attention on and the law of attraction part, so what specific marketing route did you take?
Okay, this is, I feel a little sheepish when I tell this story because it shows how naive I was in the beginning. But again, this was many years ago, and what I've been trained was that get your attention on what you want and then do whatever feels good. Whatever inspirations come to you, you can trust those because that's like universe tapping you on the shoulder saying, okay, I need you to do this and then I'll take care of everything else. So as I'm dialing in on my idea of a perfect business and perfect clients, I didn't just do the perfect client list. I also did pre-arranged journaling. That was a process I'd learned where you write a page a day about what you want every day until you get to the end of the book. By the time you get to the end of the book, you will have it. But what you're writing is, you're writing it out as if you already have it. So you're not writing about what you want or what you hope or what you wish for or what's not happening. You're writing about what you want as if it's already happened. So I did that. And then I also used affirmations. Every time I'd hear in my head, I'd hear, this is part of my marketing strategy, Kimberly. This might not sound like it, but this was what I believe made all the difference. So the affirmation that I used, whenever I'd hear my gremlin say, oh my God, this isn't going to work. You're going to have to get a job again. And I'd feel that pit of fear in my stomach. That would be my cue to repeat my affirmation, which was, no, that's not what I'm creating. What I'm creating is, I'm a brilliant coach in high demand. I use that one a lot. I'm a brilliant coach in high demand. And I'd say, I don't know what you're talking about, calendar that has no appointments or email that has no inquiries or voicemail that has no messages. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a brilliant coach in high demand. So that was partly how I was giving the signal to the universe that says I'm a rocking coach. And the inspiration that I got in this process was to have a website. I believe that. I know it was naive, but if I build a website, then people would find me and they would hire me. So I hired a girl because I didn't know how to build a website. I hired a girl. And she was pretty new at what she did. I knew that as soon as I hired her, she said, "Can I ask where you found me?" And I thought, "Oh, great, she's new." And when I thought that, I was like, "Okay, Jeanette, whatever you do, don't ever ask anyone how they found you." I never have. I didn't want to tip anyone up, but I was new and might not know what I was doing. So anyway, I had her build me a site. It was a gorgeous site. I absolutely loved it. And sure enough, I started getting hired. So a couple months later, I needed a change to the site. I wanted to change something, and she wasn't responding to me, so I had to hire a new guy. And he's like, "Yeah, I think I know why she didn't respond. She can't do it with the template that she's got." I didn't understand any of it. He said, "I could do it." He said, but so he was making the changes, and then he said, "Hey, by the way, did you know your website's invisible?" And I said, "What do you mean my website's invisible?" He said, "This is a flash site." And I said, "I know it's a flash site," but I didn't know what that meant. He said, "It means it's in pictures. There's no code here to tell search engines who you are and what you're doing." Oh, I'm like, "What do you mean?" He said, "You need to stick some code in." So I'm like, "Oh my God, do that." But I've been getting hired all along with an invisible website, and I didn't know you were supposed to drive traffic to your site. I didn't know you're supposed to tell people about it. I literally just believed if I had a website, people would see it. They would be so excited about it. They would hire me. So to this day, I do not know where those clients came from other than that they were gifts from angels. I don't know.
That's brilliant.
It speaks to the power of belief. I mean, I think we see this a lot. And trust me, I wish I still believed it was as easy as stick a website up. But we see examples of this all the time. When someone has belief, we've heard all of those placebo studies, right? Like they're just powerful things happen in our mind. And I think when we learn to harness that to our benefit instead of our detriment, miracles can happen in our business, let alone in other areas of our lives.
It's a beautiful thing when you see it manifest in front of you, isn't it?
Yes, agreed.
So now that you've used your incredible brain to bring this forward, how do you maintain it, and what marketing strategies do you use today?
To continue to this day is finding ways to stay dialed in on what I want. Many days that, and I just ask myself to do at least one thing every day that points me in the direction of the success I want. So I'm not spending all my time dialed in on what is or what I'm worried about or what's not happening. So very often my process is to just, and I do most of this before I get out of bed, so I know it's covered before I start my day. Very often I would just run myself through a couple of questions. This is my way of diving into a rich visualization. That's to ask, what does it look like? Give three answers. What does it sound like? Give three answers. What does it feel like? Give three answers to that. By the time I've given three answers to those three questions, I am plugged into the vision of what I want, and inspirations are flowing so quickly, I'm literally leaping out of bed. I can't wait to start my day. But lately, I've been using another process. It's just 17 seconds of pure positive thought, which I learned from Abraham Hicks. It's supposed to activate the energy and be the equivalent of like 2,000 hours of man hours of work. So just 17 seconds of pure positive thought. And that's not asking a lot, but I honestly believe this is what makes the biggest difference for me manifesting success in my business. What else do I do? I still use affirmations. I'm a huge fan of those. Every once in a while, I'll start a new Pray Rain journal. But the inspiration that comes to me as I'm pointing myself towards what my idea of success is, typically what it looks like in, you know, someone on the outside looking in would see what I'm doing is a lot of online marketing. I love, love, love doing things digitally. So I love social media. I love blogging. I love calls like this. I do not do a lot of speaking. I will if someone really wants me to. It's not my favorite thing because I get nervous for it. I don't do in-person events unless someone begs me and I really like them. I like the digital presence.
That's great. And it's so how are you managing that? Because I noticed you have a great following on Twitter and Google Plus, especially Google Plus is this whole new thing. So are you managing that yourself or do you have a...
I mean, yes, I manage that myself. I do not hire that out. Part of what I believe is that people are drawn to your energy. And okay, I know it's a limiting belief, but I didn't really think you could outsource that until I saw one of my colleagues do that exceptionally successfully. So I realized that is possible. But at the time I thought, I don't want to have someone else doing that because people who are drawn to that, they're drawn to her energy or his energy, not my energy. So I didn't think that was something that was possible to really successfully outsource, but I realize now that was a limiting belief. But I love it. It's one of the things that I enjoy. It's like hiring someone to walk my dogs. I have done that before to give myself more time, but it's one of the things I love. So I fired my dog walker because I love walking my dogs. So... You hear that all the time when they say, I want to say, maybe this was from Tim Ferriss where I learned at 4-Hour Work Week where he said, whatever you can hire someone to do cheaper than what your hourly rate is, outsource it.
Yep.
So I was doing that, but you know what? I love mowing my lawn and I love walking my dogs. So I do it myself and I love social media. So I do it myself.
That's perfect. I think I will say that when I'm working with my clients, I do insist that they create their own content. It just feels so much more authentic because I feel you lose a bit of that authenticity and the connection if you're not the one creating your content every day.
Well, I would be the first to agree with you.
Yeah, I like that one. So are you using marketing to create new leads or are you really just relying on the law of attraction?
Well, law of attraction is the basis of my marketing. I consider myself a vibrational marketer.
So I like that.
I feel like as long as I'm having fun and loving what I do and intending, if I'm not entertaining stories of people won't find me or they can't afford me or they don't really want it or they don't get the value, as long as I don't entertain any of that crap, I can't help but succeed. When I love what I do, I believe in the value, I'm dialed in on what I want, it kind of feels inevitable to me. My experience actually says that. So, not just for myself, but with the clients that I work with as well. For me, asking the question, what sounds fun next? That's the basis of my marketing. I love blogging. I absolutely love blogging. And I love social media. I love connecting with people online. So those are very effective for me because I have a lot of joy for those. I believe that joy, I say it like it's my idea. It's not my idea. What I've learned from everyone I've studied, joy is one of the highest vibrations out there. When you're in that place, it is really easy to have a good time and succeed with whatever your dreams are.
So true. Love it. So do you find that your clients engage with you? Is there one specific social media that maybe it's Facebook or your blog? What's the main way they communicate with you?
That's a good question. I will say this. I started out on Twitter. I really had a lot of disdain for Facebook, but over time, my love for Facebook grew and that's still probably my favorite party. So people are most likely to probably find me either my blog online. I think that's probably more like, look at this. I don't actually even know Kimberly. I know you're supposed to track this stuff. I don't actually really know. All I know is that stuff works. And remember, the last question I'm ever going to ask someone is, how'd you hear about me? I don't really know. I know you can have stuff plugged into your websites to see where people are coming from. Google treats me pretty well. The promotions that I do on Facebook, which doesn't even feel like promotions. It feels like, wow, I just heard a fabulous story. Where did you guys hear this? And I'll put a link to a blog post. It feels like I'm doing a service, not trying to get clicks or trying to get people over to my blog to buy something. It feels like I'm sharing the good stuff that, you know, this lights me up. Hey, I think it might light you up too. So it feels like a service rather than a promotion.
Right. Just sharing a piece of your soul every time we post, mm-hmm. right?
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Cause that's what I feel like I'm doing. Cause it's been, you know, it's been an interesting process for myself too, marketing me and being out in the front. And so I just find the things I think are beautiful. That's a part of who I am and put them out there. And it seems to work beautifully.
I feel a little sheepish. If my business partner heard this interview, I kind of hope you're not listening, Lisa, because she knows her numbers inside and out, upside and down. I mean, she knows where people come from. She gets a lot of traction on Pinterest. In fact, she turned me onto Pinterest, which that's an easy party to love too. But I don't have as much success there as she does. But she knows that stuff inside now. I don't actually really know. I'm a little embarrassed about that, but it isn't my joy to track down, you know, what works and what doesn't. I believe what works is wherever I'm having fun, that's what's going to serve me, because that vibration, that higher vibration, is what puts me in alignment to more fun stuff, more right. success.
Well, that's when you go back to the whole outsourcing thing, right? The Tim Ferriss thing. Right. So that's when you start to outsource the numbers piece to people like me who can help you take it to the next level. Because I will say this, while we all are love the law of attraction, we really do need to know our numbers so we know how to, because my theory is like, if you know what you're bringing in, then you know how much more you can give out.
Oh, I like that.
Right.
Well
so,
said.
Yeah. So if you don't know what's coming in, you don't know how much more you can give. And so I look at the energy of whether it's monetary or whatever that is, that if you can't monitor it, you don't know what you can give back out. So I think that's important.
Thank God for people who do have love for tracking that stuff, because for the rest of us to have to pay attention to that could be energy draining.
It is, isn't it? So I know you've published several books. Are you focusing on self-publishing, or how do you go about that process?
Yeah, so that was another one that unfolded really organically. I'd been invited out to Oprah's show. This is back when she still had her show. She was doing a Law of Attraction special, and her producer called and asked me to be on it. And again, I do not like to do in-person things, and it made me very nervous, the thought of being on TV. So I tried to get them. I said, look, I have clients who would love this chance. They said, no, we really want you. So I went out to Oprah. They wanted me to talk about Pray Rain journals. Oh my gosh. And they asked me to bring my journals. I was like, girls, that's a lot of journals. Yeah, please bring them. I had an entire suitcase full of books. It was so heavy. And they read through my journals. Okay, that's really private.
Wow.
But they read through, okay, and they did the day where they filmed me, you know, they filmed the day in advance, and then they do the show the next day, and they had their hair and makeup people, like I got picked up at the airport by limo. It was really fun. I was like, okay, this is kind of cool, but I was still so freaking nervous for the thing. I couldn't sleep. My heart was racing nonstop. I was really nervous. Okay, then the day of the show, Martha Beck was talking about vision boards before they were going to ask me about Pray Rain journals. And she talked about vision boards for long enough that they skipped me. They didn't even talk about Pray Rain journals. So all that work, all hauling journals all the way to Chicago, all for naught. Okay, so in the limo, on the way back to the airport, I shared the car with another girl, and she said, well, we never got to hear about Pray Rain journals. What is it? I never heard of it. And I explained it. They were really excited about it. I'd learned it from someone else. It wasn't my idea. And they said, well, where could we learn more about it? And I didn't know of any books to tell them about. And I felt really bad. And as I was on the plane, I thought, I wish there would have been a book I could point them to, because they were so excited about it. And they wanted to learn more. And I thought, someone should write that book. And then a second later, it came to me. You should write that book. So I'm on the airplane. I got a little napkin, and I wrote out an outline for the book. Okay, but I didn't know anything. I'm not a technical person. I didn't know anything, like what to do with it next. I had no clue. But I was still excited about it. Like, yeah, there should be a book. Yeah, I can write this book. So I got my outline. And like a couple days later, I get hired by a new guy. And it turns out that his expertise is internet marketing. And I'm like, oh, dude, before you pay me, we should maybe talk about a trade. And I've never done a trade or a barter before. But I was like, I think I need your services. And he said, what'd you got? And I said, well, I got an idea for a book, but I don't know what to do with it. And he's like, I can totally do that for you. So he did. He turned my idea into an ebook that's self-published. To this day, I've never done anything besides self-publishing. I love that.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't know why anyone would do it any other way. I wouldn't want to have to deal with it. Okay, that's my limiting beliefs about the traditional publishing world, where I see a lot of clients, because I've gotten hired a variety of times for people who want to bring their book to life and have it in a bookstore. It seems like a lot of work. I'm like, this, you know how easy this is? You could do it your own self. But
yeah.
That's what I've done. And I, as usual, outsourcing the parts that I didn't know how to do made it a very enjoyable process. And to this day, that first ebook is still my best seller.
Wow, that's great.
I know.
And I think that's a good point. And actually, the podcast that went live yesterday was all about self-publishing. Because I think the two misnomers, and I'll say it since we're talking about it here, is that people think self-publishing, they do it all on their own. But self-publishing just means you don't have the traditional publisher controlling your content and controlling what you do with it. But you still need a team, because you really can't do it all yourself, or it's not going to be of quality. So it's having that team in place is so key.
Well, it was key for me for enjoying it. If I had to do that on my own, and I know some people who feel like they don't have the budget to outsource it. First of all, you'd be surprised how ridiculously inexpensive that stuff is. But if you don't enjoy it, look, the energy that you're putting into it isn't going to lead you to more joy. Unhappy journeys do not have happy endings.
So, I love that.
Yeah, it's from Abraham. It's crucial that we find a way to enjoy the process and turning it over to someone who did love it, who knew what they were doing and could do it easily was a key part of me enjoying the party.
That's perfect. So what has been your biggest challenge with marketing?
My biggest challenge with marketing has been the same thing that I mentioned my colleagues struggle with, and that's not falling for the rules about how it's supposed to be done. In fact, even the way that I structured my coaching practice, I didn't really do it from a place of what would I love most. I did it from a place of, okay, how is this done? Like what I saw was other coaches, the way they would do this is, and I followed their model rather than tuning in to ask myself what would be my favorite thing. So I don't think it's much different with marketing. It's important for us to stay conscious about where we're going to have the highest level of enjoyment rather than falling for the experts telling us how it's supposed to be done. And if you don't follow this rule, you're doomed to failure. None of that is true unless we believe it so, because it's our beliefs that rule. So staying plugged into what's my idea of a good time, that's been my biggest challenge. Because like I said, my business partner who's all should get lit up about something, or I'll hear someone else who's having enormous success with something and I'll think, whoa, I should do that too. The shoulds are kind of dangerous, because if we start flowing that should energy in our business, I don't think that takes us to good places. That isn't to say that other people and their experiences can't inspire us to learn something we would enjoy that we didn't know about before. So I think we can learn a lot from what other people are experiencing, but we want to make sure we're doing it from a place of, this lights me up. I can have fun with this. This is something I would enjoy, rather than, all right, well, if you want to succeed, you have to do this because this is the rule. So that's one. Another marketing challenge might be, the honest to God truth is that what I do for marketing is my idea of a good time, so much so that I have to make sure that I'm getting good balance in my life, because I have it in me to sit in this chair in the office too long. So praise the Lord for dogs. They're the ones who will insist you get up at least a couple times a day to either give them a potty break or go for a walk. But keeping balance in my life, because when you love what you do, it is easy to do too much of it. And I believe that things work better in moderation. We need to take a break in order to make room for some new inspirations and new ideas. So that's that. And I'm also a rising Capricorn. I have it in me to be addicted to work. The good news is I love my work, but still, you still need a break from it.
So true. I know. And my little dog does that too. I get the little scratch on the leg, like, I need to go out. Yep. So looking back on your journey, if you had to do it all over again, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
I wouldn't take so long to get started. Like I said, I thought about this stuff for years. Like I fantasized about it in a way where I didn't believe it was possible, but the idea, it wouldn't let go of me. I really feel like it was an idea that got me and it wouldn't go away. But I entertained it for years before I dared do anything with it. So if I could do anything different, I would give myself permission to move forward with that inspiration much sooner than I did. And I would trust myself more throughout the process, because I spend a lot of time doubting myself and questioning not just my skills as a coach or my savvy as a business owner, but whether this was the right path for me. I think that I would have enjoyed the process so much more if I just let it be right rather than wonder whether or not it was.
Perfect. So now that you have had this great success, do you have like a future platform in mind, or are you just kind of steady as she goes?
Well, my practice has evolved over the years. In the early days, one of the things I sometimes hear in coaching circles is that you can't make six figures just doing one-on-one work. You know what? That's not true. I was doing it. I will say that it didn't take long of doing that. This was especially after The Secret came out. I was so busy, literally, I barely had time to pee. I didn't know how to say no to clients. And here I'd been intending for all this time that people loved me and found me. I was actually intending that they had to work with me, that no one else would serve. So I would even try to send referrals to colleagues, and then the people would come back and say, no, I really want to work with you. And I'm like, oh my word, this is my fault. I intended that. So I was super busy. And I was feeling a little frustrated because, you know, one session was with one person. It was 1 hour, one fee. It felt limited in a variety of ways. I wanted to have a bigger impact. I wanted to be able to have 1 hour touch a lot of people and make a lot more than one fee. So I had an intention a couple years into this to reverse the ratio of my income, because I started flirting with, you know, I'd do a group course here and there, and those turned out pretty well, but it was really on the side because I was so busy doing one-on-one work. I didn't have much time to do the group work. So, 1 year I decided I wanted to reverse the ratio, and instead of having 80% of my income from one-on-one clients and 20% from group work, I wanted to flip it. And I did that in that year. So, that was one big evolution in my business. And then the one after that was to find more ways for people to tap into me, because, you know, group courses on the phone was fine for some people, but it wasn't everyone's cup of tea. So I eventually created a membership site so that people could be plugged into forums, because a lot of people appreciate that kind of support, especially when it comes to conscious creation work, because it can feel really lonely when other people think you're crazy for practicing this stuff and no one else in your family or your circle of friends believes it. So the membership site came after that, and then I started coach training with my business partner, Lisa Hayes, and what else have I? Oh, yeah, and then I started Good Vibe Astrology with Kim Falconer. That is so much fun. I love astrology, and doing it from an LOA-friendly perspective, which Kim does. She's ridiculously brilliant. That's a fun time there. So I have a variety of things. I'm also creating a new course for teaching people how to draw clients into their business through being a vibrational marketer, creating that right now. So I know that it will continue to evolve. And as long as I listen for and honor whatever is my idea of a good time, I can't help but succeed.
That's beautiful. I love that. And I hope everyone listens to that and really goes, oh, because that's an aha. Or to use Oprah's words, it's a tweetable, right?
It's a fun way to operate. I got to say, you can't help but have a good time with your business when you're running it that way.
That's fantastic. Any last advice? Although I think that might have been it. I almost hate to ask the question because that was such a beautiful ending.
I do like that, but I would also invite people to know that you've got answers within, and this one of those things I would have changed sooner than later. Trust those inner answers, because there's a part of you that already knows what's best for you, what's true for you. And even as you're hearing things like, you know, listening to podcasts like this or reading other books or hearing other colleagues talk about their stuff, pay attention to what rings your bell, because that's the part of you that knows what's going to serve you. When you listen for that and honor it, you're home free.
Perfect. So if my listeners wanted to find you, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
I've got a portal site that show all my parties that are happening. It's at goodvibecoach.com. But if anyone wants to email me with any questions, I'd be happy to answer those at jmott@goodvibecoach.com.
Fantastic. Well, this has been beautiful, and I love all the information. Thank you so much.
It was fun, Kimberly. Thanks for giving me a chance to talk about what I'm so passionate about.
Perfect.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.